From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. As Juneau's number of positive COVID-19 cases trends upward, new policies are taking effect to control the spread. That means starting tomorrow at noon, bars and gyms are limited to half capacity, and indoor group gatherings must be kept to fewer than 50 people. During a briefing Wednesday, City Manager Rory Watt said younger people, specifically people in their 20s and 30s, continue to see higher levels of positive cases statewide. That's one reason bars are a concern.
We have not had a big bar-related spread event, but we're concerned that that's an area of risk for us, and rather than wait to see if it happens, we think the prudent course for the community is to be more careful in those types of settings.
Watts said city staff will perform courtesy visits to bars and other businesses to distribute masks and information about the new measures. They're hoping people comply voluntarily to avoid a situation like the one in Anchorage, where bars closed down completely this month due to the high number of cases attributed to community spread. But in Juneau, only a small portion of recent cases has been attributed to community spread. Large-scale outbreaks like the ones at Kensington Mine and Alaska Glacier Seafoods, which are considered secondary transmission, have accounted for most local cases. Deputy Manager Mila Cosgrove said during a briefing today, there have also been recent outbreaks at family gatherings like funerals and weddings. She urged community members to continue observing social distancing.
Especially large family gatherings where people feel maybe a little more inclined to let their guard down, maybe make their social bubble a little bit bigger. And we really urge members of the community to understand the risk that is associated with that and really keep their social bubbles as small as possible.
The city will now hold COVID-19 updates over Zoom and Facebook Live every Thursday at noon. The public can submit questions at least a day in advance by email. Juneau is reporting 54 active cases of COVID-19. Six new cases were reported yesterday. An Alaska mayor has vetoed a resolution asking the state legislature to expand sexual and gender identity protection, claiming the action could result in discrimination against Christians. The Ketchikan Daily News reported Ketchikan Gateway Borough Mayor Rodney Dial issued the veto. He says the draft equal rights resolution is anti-Christian and violates the First Amendment protection of religious expression. The borough assembly passed the resolution calling for sexual orientation and gender identity to be added to the list of attributes the State Commission of Human Rights is empowered to protect. Some assembly members plan to attempt a veto override. And also in the southeast, a Haines man was awarded a prize in the town's 4th of July parade when he donned a Donald Trump mask and drove a car that had been cut in half with a blue-on-white sign that says, quote, "Uncle Sam, I am half off," unquote. A week later, local police cited the man, who has a history of seizures, for driving without a license. Henry Leisha with KHNS reports a local judge dismissed the case on Monday.
The Haines Chamber of Commerce adapted their annual 4th of July parade to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Instead of parading down Main Street, the marching band, the dancers, the fire truck, and the floats were stationed at the parking lot of the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds. Spectators could drive through and take in the spectacle from their cars. Paul Nelson owns Bigfoot Auto in Haines. He and his employees built a unique float for the occasion.
It was a Chevrolet Celebrity front-wheel drive. So we were able to cut the rear half of the car off and put caster wheels under the rear of the car, which now was right behind the driver's seat.
Nelson's employees towed the car, or what was left of it, to the fairgrounds. They got set up in their designated area behind the chalked-out lane where the cars would pass by. When the parade started, Nelson got behind the wheel in a Donald Trump mask and began driving. The car still worked, but the swiveling wheels in the back caused some steering quirks.
You get it going 5 miles an hour or so and hit the brakes. There was no weight in the rear, so it would tip right up on the front bumper. And also, with no rear wheels, when you turn the steering wheel hard left or right, the car would spin around in a circle, you know, the size of the car itself.
Nelson won first prize for his float, but 9 days after the parade, he was cited for driving without a license. A little over a year ago, the state canceled Nelson's driver's license after he had a seizure while driving. But he says he didn't break the law by driving the modified vehicle at the fairgrounds because he was on private property.
So I don't have a driver's license, but I saw that it was legal to drive an off-road vehicle on private property without a driver's license. So I thought, well, since they're doing a reverse parade, and I had an idea for a float that couldn't be driven on the highway, that it would work perfectly.
At his first court appearance, Nelson moved to dismiss the citation, referencing a previous case in Alaska where charges were dropped against a man who drove without a license in a supermarket parking lot. At a hearing on Monday, Assistant District Attorney Dara Gibson dropped the charge for driving without a license and attempted to introduce new charges for reckless driving. Judge Lynn Asper dismissed the case because Nelson had not been served the new charges. Asper said the district attorney's office would have to issue a new summons to Nelson if it wanted to proceed. Nelson disputed the reckless driving charges as well.
If I was negligent driving or reckless driving during the parade, why didn't they stop me? Why did they let me go on through the entire parade?
Nelson has repeatedly called for cuts to the police department's budget in public meetings. He claims that the charges against him are a form of harassment for speaking out. Haines Police Chief Heath Scott declined to comment on the specifics of the case, but said he is concerned that Nelson's medical condition prevents him from driving safely and caused a public safety risk. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
City and state transportation officials signed a deal recently that's a step toward a long-standing goal to build a second road crossing to Douglas Island. The agreement says the State Department of Transportation will lead a planning and environmental study. That study is just one step on a long path towards securing federal funding. City engineers have ballparked the cost of a second crossing of Gastineau Channel at $90 million. The city will reimburse the state for up to $210,000 for work on this study. In the agreement, they estimate the study will cost $2 million total. The Federal Highway Administration will cover the rest of the cost. The state's project manager, Marie Heidemann, says work on the study is expected to start this fall and will likely take 1 or 2 years to complete. The city's long-term plans say the future development of the backside of Douglas Island, particularly of new deep water port facilities, hinges on a second Gastineau Channel crossing to accommodate more traffic, including heavy industrial trucks. A barge hauling a construction crane that struck the bridge on August 5th highlighted another known issue: tight clearance for marine traffic. New port facilities that a second crossing would make possible could resolve that. The damage to the bridge was superficial, but had it been more serious, emergency access to Douglas Island would have been severely limited. Old analysis have flagged congestion during the peak morning commute at the Douglas Bridge intersection as unacceptably bad. The Juneau Assembly passed resolutions in 2005 and 2007 work on a second crossing. The latter called specifically for a crossing to begin near Vanderbilt Hill Road. In 2010, local voters shot down a ballot question to fund a crossing from the Sunny Point interchange to near Fish Creek Road. It was 2-1 against. A spokesperson for the company behind the proposed Pebble Mine says a key federal permitting decision on a proposed copper and gold mine in Alaska's Bristol Bay region could still be weeks away as work continues on mitigation plans. Mike Heatwall says the company is working with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to finalize a wetlands mitigation plan. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has said it could issue a permit with conditions or deny the permit request. Heatwall says given the work remaining, a final decision is not likely for another month or so. This is KTOO News.